DBHDD is urging people to ask a pharmacist about getting naloxone for their first aid kits at home or work. No prescription is needed. Naloxone can rapidly reverse an opioid overdose and restore breathing. Opioidresponse.info.
Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Thursday, February 6th. I'm Orlando Montoya. On this podcast, you'll hear the latest reports from GPB's news team, and you can send us ideas of your own. Send us feedback, too, at georgiatoday@gpb.org. Now, coming up on today's episode, we'll tell you about a protest at the state capitol. Hundreds of people showed up to demonstrate against President Trump and his policies. Legal challenges from local public housing authorities could hurt the way landlords are held accountable under the law. That's another story we'll have today. Also, Democratic state senators want Georgia voters to decide on abortion access.
We all know and love women of reproductive age, and we can't help but wonder, what if that happened to my loved one?
These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. The Georgia House this morning approved an amended budget for the fiscal year that ends in June. GPB's Sarah Callis reports on what's in the $40 billion package.
The amended budget adds millions of dollars in Hurricane Helene relief, school safety initiatives, and money to make state prison repairs. House Appropriations Committee Chair Matt Hatchett said the funds will address urgent needs.
This budget contains very important additions, primarily as it relates to Hurricane Helene, and the safety and security of our prisons.
The budget, which adds to the current fiscal year's budget, will now move to the Senate for their approval. Both chambers still need to vote on the full budget for the upcoming fiscal year by the end of the legislative session. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at the State Capitol.
Hundreds of people protested President Donald Trump and his administration at the State Capitol today in two separate demonstrations. Participants expressed a variety of concerns, including immigration operations, Elon Musk's powers, and the removal of certain terms from official websites. 19-year-old Ashley Hammond came to the Capitol from Northeast Georgia's Hart County.
The amount of rights being taken away and the push for people like me, my friends, my family to hide is what I'm here to protest.
The two grassroots protests grew out of posts on social media. Similar protests arose in other state capitals across the country. Democrats in the state Senate want Georgia voters to decide on abortion access. A resolution unveiled yesterday aims to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot that would, if passed, protect access to abortion until fetal viability. Atlanta State Senator Sally Harrell.
We all know and love women of reproductive age, and we can't help but wonder, what if that happened to my loved one, to my daughter, to my granddaughter, to my wife, to me?
The resolution would require two-thirds of the legislature to approve its placement on the ballot, so it's unlikely to gain that support in the Republican-controlled state legislature. Local public housing authorities have been fighting in court to try to change the way they can be held responsible by tenants under Georgia law. At risk is the ability for people who live in public housing and who are hurt living there to hold their landlords accountable. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Carlos Ross remembers his son, Carmelo Ross, as Mello. Ross jokes that his son wanted to be Mr. Superstar.
He wanted to be a rapper.
He pulls up one of his songs posted online.
That's Mello. He liked to play basketball. And he just pretty much liked to hang out. Always twisting his hair all the time. Because he had long dreads, and he always twisted his hair. Always in the mirror.
Carmelo was sweet, always calling his dad to check in and make sure he'd taken his medicine.
Mello made it known that you're going to love him because he's going to do something to make you laugh. He'll make you mad soon.
Like when he got a tattoo in secret.
Well, he's going to make you laugh.
It was 3 days after Carlos Ross's birthday when 15-year-old Carmelo was killed in a drive-by shooting while visiting Anthony Holmes, a public housing complex on Macon's west side. Carmelo was with some friends when it happened. One was shot in the hand.
They said the car came, rolled by, and then like they said, like the third or the fourth time the car came back, they went to shoot him.
Ross and Carmelo's mom sued the Macon Housing Authority over Carmelo's death. They alleged that despite knowing about criminal activity on the street where their son died, the Housing Authority had not done enough to keep the apartment complex safe. Homicides had happened there before, based on death certificates in an area less than a mile from where Carmelo was shot. About one person had been killed every year since 2019. Another young person was killed there just a year after Carmelo. The Macon Housing Authority denied responsibility through something called sovereign immunity.
Meaning that they cannot be sued, except in very particular circumstances, because they are part of the city government, county government, municipality government, depending on where they are.
James Adomaly, a lawyer out of Atlanta, represented Carmelo Ross's parents in court. Sovereign immunity dates back to British common law and the idea that the king can do no wrong. Today, it protects state and federal agencies like the post office or police departments from some lawsuits.
Essentially saying, we don't want all these lawsuits draining the state treasury.
Only recently have housing authorities like Macon's started asking for the same protection from tenant lawsuits.
They can't necessarily afford to be anywhere else. And then we say, sorry, the courthouse doors are closed to you. That's a problem.
This summer, Georgia's Supreme Court will rehear a case out of Augusta after lower courts ruled to grant sovereign immunity to the housing authority there. Mike Walker is a personal injury attorney in Atlanta.
The plaintiff in that case, a lady named Christina Guy, she was shot on the front porch of her apartment.
It was during a robbery. Guy sued the Augusta Housing Authority over negligence. She lost that case, so she appealed.
Really, if you look it up, it's an extremely dangerous apartment complex. Tons of crime. It's a very unsafe place to live.
Enough public housing tenants have sued over crime in Atlanta, Augusta, Columbus, and Macon that their landlords submitted a letter of support for sovereign immunity during the appeals process in the Guy case. The Georgia Supreme Court now has that amicus brief in the materials they will later consider. Mike Austin is the housing director in Macon. He says suing housing authorities over crime in public housing is problematic because they, quote, can never guarantee safety.
Unfortunately, crime happens everywhere, but we can do things, and we do things, to help with safety.
After 15-year-old Carmelo Ross was killed, the housing authority installed surveillance cameras around high-risk neighborhoods and paid for extra officers to patrol at night. Since then, the trend of a homicide a year where Carmelo died has ended. But safety costs money, which Austin says housing authorities don't have a lot of.
If you're going to be an affordable housing operator, you've got to be very, very disciplined because you have a finite amount of rent revenue that you've got to deal with. But there's no cap on expenses.
And there is a public housing shortage. Hundreds of people are on wait lists for apartments around the state. The judge that sided with housing authorities in the Augusta case argued that budgets for public housing, which have gone up with more lawsuits and higher insurance premiums, should be protected because it's an essential government function. But attorney Mike Walker argues that by giving housing authorities this power to protect themselves from expensive litigation, it's not just victims of violent crime that could be kept from seeking damages.
It's my belief that the housing authorities are raising this argument in all cases.
Like those that deal with hazardous conditions inside apartments, including mold or lead pipes. Meanwhile, Walker and other attorneys have been told by judges that they have to wait for a Supreme Court decision on sovereign immunity before ongoing lawsuits, some years into arguments, can move forward.
Let's come on the record and call the case of Arthur Anthony surviving.
Inside a courtroom last fall, Arthur Anthony was told he will have to wait for relief, too. Anthony sued the Augusta Housing Authority in 2023 over the death of his 8-year-old daughter, Aubrey, a year earlier.
You can tell that she was going to be something special.
This is Aubrey's aunt, Jamila McDaniel, speaking in place of her brother, Aubrey's dad. Aubrey, like 15-year-old Carmelo Ross, was shot in a random act of violence while playing outside. Later, known gang members would be arrested. It happened at Dogwood Terrace, the same apartment complex at the center of the case that's headed to the state Supreme Court. It's also where McDaniel grew up.
Well, I've saw a couple of people get killed before in front of me. It was all random, like I said.
She says crime hasn't stopped.
I blame them responsible for what happened to her. They didn't take the proper precautions like they were supposed to.
McDaniel says installing security cameras like they did in Macon hasn't been enough. She would like to see security gates at the entrance of a neighborhood like Dogwood Terrace. But now the city is tearing the apartments down. All residents are being relocated. The Augusta Housing Authority says it's because the apartments were out of code and that they plan to build something new.
It got a small bed.
Back in Macon, Carlos Ross was able to move his family from the house they used to live in, down the street from where his son was killed, after he and Carmelo's mom settled their lawsuit with the Macon Housing Authority out of court for an undisclosed amount of money.
It don't excite me. Like, the money, I never had that much before ever in my life, but it don't excite me. Like, I'm not really, I'd rather have him back.
You play basketball with me?
Yeah, hold up.
Ross says for the sake of Carmelo's siblings and his son's friends, he hopes the city of Macon does more to stem violence in the places they live. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratas in Macon.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones has introduced a plan he's calling a state-level Department of Government Efficiency. The Republicans' plan passed in the state Senate last year but didn't make it out of the House. Today he told GPB's Donna Lowry the effort mirrors that being advanced by the Trump administration.
We always add more regulations, but very few times do we take them away. And I think that it's always good for us to do a reset on our regulatory fronts, and that's what this bill would do. It got a lot of attention now because that's something that they're doing on the Trump administration is moving towards doing on the national front.
And we'll have more from Jones on that issue and other issues on tonight's episode of GPB's Lawmakers at 7 o'clock on your GPB TV station. And if you happen to catch this after the program airs, you can find Lawmakers at gpb.org/lawmakers. Some relief for Southeast Georgia's water woes could be coming if funding approved by the Georgia House today makes it into law. State representatives approved an amended 2025 fiscal year budget that includes $500 million for a new water intake on the Savannah River. The measure is aimed at supporting Savannah area growth, especially the huge new Hyundai electric vehicle manufacturing plant in Bryan County. Columbus is making Super Bowl Sunday an exception to its ban on Sunday alcohol sales. State law allows local governments to designate one Sunday a year as an exception to their Sunday alcohol bans. Columbus Mayor Skip Henderson said in a news release on Tuesday that that exception this year would be this upcoming Sunday, February 9th. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. As always, we encourage your feedback and encourage you to go to gpb.org/news if you'd like to learn more about the stories that you hear on this podcast. We also encourage you to hit subscribe on this podcast. That helps you and it helps us so you can stay current with us in your feed. I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for tuning in.